Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another Bible study show. We're going to have a great time today. We're going to talk about some really cool things. But I wanted to start with a question for you, JD.
Okay.
So, well, it's not really a question. It's like more like a joke.
Okay. I'm in. Okay.
So I just figured I wanted to get you on here instead of saying, okay, don't watch the show because he's telling jokes. No. So Adam is, you know, he's going through all the animals in chapter 2 because that's where we are in Genesis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking through them. Okay, a giraffe, a zebra, a platypus. Platypus? What is it? Penguins. You know, all this stuff. And there was nothing, you know, that was suitable for him, as the word says.
Mm-hmm.
So God comes to Adam and he says, hey, listen, I wanted to show you all the animals so you could see that nothing's really suitable for you. But what would you like to see in a companion, you know? And I'm going to create a wife for you. He says, oh, wow. Let me see. I want one who's, completely submissive, doesn't give me a hard time. I think takes care of the house, really loving all the time, never gets angry at anything. Let me see, willing to work really hard at some of the things we need to do. And he's like, it comes up with this really long list, right? And mm-hmm. he goes, wow, Adam, that's pretty good too. And he says, Adam, that's going to cost you an arm and a leg. And Adam stops for a second and goes, what do you got for a rib?
That's a good one, David. I like that.
That's pretty bad, right?
I like that.
Okay. I don't think that's how it's happened.
No.
But we're going to examine the scriptures today to see if it really happened that way.
Okay. All right.
I think that's just a story.
I think that, yeah, I do too. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to you now, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, so let's go right there. And chapter 2, verse 20 says, and Adam gave names to all cattle and all fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. Mm-hmm. Not meat like, you know, you go to the store and get meat.
Right.
A help, it's more like suitable.
Mm-hmm.
And a helper, basically. In other words, a companion, not even just like a servant helper. No, it's like side by side. And the
equal.
Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Huh, imagine that. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That always struck me. That was like the first thing. Like,
yeah.
Adam didn't have a mother and father.
Right?
So, obviously.
Yeah, that's I hadn't thought of that before, but you're right. There hadn't been any.
Yeah, he didn't have a mother and father, and the question is still out: did Adam and Eve have belly buttons?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. That'd be kind of weird.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, because like the Song of Solomon talks about the belly button, you know.
I don't think so.
Like, Eve was like totally gorgeous, but didn't have a belly button?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. We'll find out.
I mean, I don't know either, but I just can't see it. You know?
Well, hold on. I have a list of questions when I get to heaven. That's going to be one.
That's a good one, too. That's a good question.
Do not
yeah.
have a belly button.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting. So we're going to talk about the flesh and bones, and we're going to talk about all these things. But in the beginning, he gave name to all the cattles. All right, so there they are. He didn't find a helper, and he caused a deep sleep to fall upon him. You realize that word in Hebrew is a little more than deep sleep. It's actually a trance.
So he almost like being him. Almost felt like being what, comatose or something?
Yeah, yeah. He stunned him and stupefied him, which is probably because if he was asleep and he started ripping his rib out, he'd probably feel it.
That hurt.
So, but like, you know, I remember when I had an operation, they're like, hey, tell me something fun and then count backwards from 10. And the next thing I know, I'm waking up 3 days later. I don't remember anything.
Well, yeah, my experiences are even worse than that. I mean, one of the very first surgeries I ever had, they were rolling me away, and I'm nervous, and I'm just talking because I'm nervous, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I went out and woke back up later. I have no idea how far I went with whatever it was I was saying, but I mean, it was like, you're done.
Did anybody record that?
I've got a feeling that they probably were listening to me, and they said, we're done with this, and just hit the button, and I was out.
Hit the stun button. But that's what it means. It's like literally, you know, to stun or stupefy.
Okay.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So he stunned Adam. Probably like with a taser.
Tase hurts, though, too. I would suspect.
Nicer than that. But that's what the word means, you know? Then, okay, let's continue on here. And obviously, he slept.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. I mean, to be slack or living to sleep.
I wonder if he woke up in pain. No, I mean,
you know what? There was no sin back then, so probably not, because it said he closed up the flesh, and that's just not like, hey, he folded it back over. Like,
right.
All the flesh. He,
right.
Yeah, let's actually look that word up. That's a good one, too.
I think you're right about the sin thing. You know, there hadn't been any sin yet, so that means there wasn't any pain yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
Okay.
So he couldn't do that. Basar, close up the flesh, body, person, the bland, the man, the skin. Okay, so is that any part of the body? And let me see. Close up. To shut up, surrender, figuratively close, deliver, peel, repair. There you go.
Yeah.
So it does have the some implication of repair. To close, uniformly close, to stop up, close up a hole in one's flesh, to close a door. All right. So, yeah. So it has the implication of repairing by closing up.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's that.
Yeah, I bet but there was no pain. I bet there was no pain. That's just going to be my guess.
Uh-huh. No more pain. Just like when we got, he said there'll be no more pain.
Yeah. Anybody that was there can correct me.
So, yeah. Adam will be back. We'll see him on the show. I wonder how big he was. He's like maybe 8 feet tall.
Yeah, who knows? Oh, man.
And then there's rib. And rib, kind of self-explanatory. I mean, but it basically means to curve and to set as like almost like a skeleton, but could be used for the rib on a boat. Same
right.
idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the rib, like if you're building a house, it's like walls on a house. And it does have the implication of being arched. So it does have that. So there
my
it is.
Question, okay, all right, you told me to ask questions. I'm going to ask questions.
Absolutely.
Why in the world did God decide to take a rib from Adam instead of just creating a woman like he did Adam?
Well, it's got to be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh.
Okay.
We start there, but then here's some supposition.
Okay.
Right? And now remember, he's just one right now. Here he is. So I believe, and this is why I think, because he says, let us create man in our image. Like if you say El Shaddai, it says, oh, that's, you know, my provider. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You sing that song, El Shaddai, and then different things. A lot of them have feminine attributes.
Mm. Okay.
And there's, you know, and he says, I would gather you like a hen gathers her chickens.
Right.
So clearly, that's a motherly attribute.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And then even, El Shaddai actually means the many breasted one.
Mm, okay.
Isn't that wild?
Okay.
My supplier. basically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's literally what it means. So the implication in the Hebrew of many-breasted ones means there's plenty of supply.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like, looked like frowned upon like we do today. It was, natural course of things.
Yeah.
So God has a lot of feminine attributes. We just, we call him because that's what he said. There's him, right. And he has all of these things. I think Adam was made the same way. He had all these feminine attributes. But now he took all of those feminine nurturing attributes out and made the woman have those.
Okay. Okay.
And kept the man, which is why the man desires for that woman to be back so much. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh.
Okay.
So Adam knew what it was like to have all of that, and he wants his woman back. Whereas a woman doesn't really know, I never really knew having all that stuff. So it's a different attraction for the man.
Yeah.
More to, hey, I'd like to be part of that. It's kind of, I couldn't speak from a woman's point of view, but I know from a man's point of view that it was like, hey, I want that back. I want that nurturing stuff. Mm-hmm. I want all those things that I'm now missing. That's why I said it will cling unto his wife. That doesn't mean to be clingy in a, in an immature child kind of a way, but to cling as these are the things that were taken from me to create this bond, because that's exactly what God has with us. He wants to create something where we're so attracted that we have to be with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay.
Because a marriage is definitely a microcosm in that small picture of our desire to be with the Lord. Well, your desire for your husband, your desire for your wife is a small picture of what our desire should be for the Lord.
Right. Okay. And I just wondered, that's just a question that popped in my mind all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And, because God is, he can do anything. So,
And that's why marriage is so sacred, because it represents, us and the Lord.
Right, right.
A little microcosm. So that's what it means. It's it even could be used like as a hillside, but it does have that curved effect, and it does have that thing. So now, takes it from the rib, and there's a lot of conjecture on this, but I think it's probably right. Is it's the rib because that's what covers the heart.
Okay.
So okay. All your internal organs are in there. So now it's a protective thing. So now the woman is designed to help protect the man.
Okay.
And is, is by his side. It's not like it's not a foot bone.
Right. Right.
Not a hand bone. Leg bone.
Yeah.
Not all of that. It comes right from his torso, his center being. So it's, they're going to be side by side. Hey, you have this part of me, and I have that part of me, and I have that part of you and this part. And we're one, but we have different attributes. And instead of trying to be the same, we need to appreciate the different attributes.
Right. Yeah.
That's what the world is trying to do today. Oh, women can do the same thing as men. Oh,
yeah,
fine.
Well, they're trying to do
against God's will. They're supposed to be different, and they think they're superior in so many ways. So why would you want to do that? Why would you want to degrade yourself?
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Because he definitely took the best part out to make the woman. So there's that. Well, you did like that. What do you got for a rib joke, right?
Yes. Yes, I did. That was good.
Now, it says here, and he made a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he took the rib and.
Yeah.
And that word is not the same as in the beginning. In the beginning, God created a completely different word. Created is a rock. Where this word is bana, a primitive root to build. And basically, it's to build out of something that already exists, as opposed to Bereshit bara Elohim, was God created. In the beginning, God created the earth, is to create out of nothing.
Yeah.
All right.
I hate to say the word, but I will. Clone?
Well, No, I think build from existing stuff.
Okay.
Like, in other words, I gave you a lump of clay. You can make something out of it, as opposed to tell me, well, go make your own clay.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to be sacrilegious or anything by saying that. Yeah, it seems like it would really, I don't know. I don't even know what I was trying to say.
It would be like to actually make an exact duplicate.
Yeah.
Clearly, he took parts out and made it completely different.
Right, right. Okay. Okay. Sorry about that. That's one of those things that, you know, there's no filter between mind and mouth, you know. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
I'm surprised you didn't say doppelganger. But basically the banach here is to create out of something that's there. In other words, he formed and did, okay, this. So he had something and then he formed something out of it. As opposed to Adam, he's like, and there's something new out of nothing.
Okay.
Which just reminds me of, I saw a comedian, and he says, I don't know what is harder to believe. He says, the Christians who say there's a God who created them, or an atheist that says they were created from nothing.
Yeah.
He says, so let me ask you this. So you were created from nothing. Yeah. How did that happen? And then what happens when you die? Well, then you go back, you know, you just cease to exist. So you go back to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He says, so you go back to your creator. Mm-hmm. It's like, you have a religion.
Yeah, either a good one or a bad one. Yeah, yeah.
Nothing is your creator.
Yeah, says, both of them are religions. Difference? Both of them are religions, and one of them leads you to one direction, and the other one takes you where you don't want to go.
So, you know, and in his, you know, honesty, he's like, which one sounds more plausible? That somebody really smart that we can't understand made everybody, or nothing?
Yeah, nothing blew up nothing, and look what happened. Yeah.
I mean, so that was, anyway, that's my story. I didn't say it nearly as funny as he did. All right. Because they say with the snarkiness, and he added a few select words. That
are colorful. Yeah, got to color it in, of course. Yeah.
But he was right. All right, so there's the whole rib thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says this. Check this out. And I want to get into this. This will probably polish up our first half. This will be good.
Okay.
And a rib which he had the Lord God taken from the man, he made a woman. And brought her to the man. And Adam said, well, this is Adam. And that means ruddy. Okay, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh.
Okay.
She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So where's the blood?
Yeah. Good question. Where is the blood?
So we always think flesh and blood, but this is bone and my bones and flesh. So it's bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And we're going to see that later with Christ when he returns. So I'm wondering if before the sin, what's the story with blood?
Yeah. Was it there?
Because it's not mentioned here.
Yeah.
So does that mean it doesn't exist yet?
That was my question exactly. That is the perfect. Yeah. Okay.
Now it seems kind of weird to us to be without that, but if we glow in the dark and walk through walls, and you know, we had a completely different, you know, ecosystem for our bodies, and it wasn't until entropy stepped in. We'll talk about that in the second half.
Okay.
That all these things changed. I wonder if blood came into existence because now. It was only by the shedding of blood that the sins can be removed. So I wonder.
Yeah. So
if that's, before that,
I am really, really confused now. So are you saying blood may have come into it after the original sin?
Yeah, because he says the life is in the blood, which means that now you have the possibility if you lose your blood, you lose your life, which is what happened to Abel. Right?
Right.
Blood poured out on the ground and it speaks from the ground.
Right.
Oh, blood speaking from the ground. So is that the spirit? Is this, life is in the spirit and life is in the blood. Is the blood a representation like a replacement for the spirit to carry the life through our bodies? Was it the spirit of God carrying life to ourselves before that?
Wow.
And it's a really interesting question, and I don't have any answer for it yet. Imagine that.
You do or you don't?
I do not.
Okay, neither do I. But that's you have hit on something once again that is good. You know, my mind went boom.
What? Like, it's the first question. What happened to the blood?
Okay. Right. Okay. Right.
And so this leads us to, and I'll go there in a second, but let me back up. He said, "She shall be called Whoa, Man."
Right.
That's what Adam said. He was like, Whoa, man. You know, and turns out in the Hebrew, that's almost correct.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, check it out, because it says she'll be called woman because she's taken out of man.
Mm-hmm.
So it is woe man, but in the Hebrew it's actually ish, okay, which is aleph, yod, shin, and it's a contracted form of the word enosh, which we've seen, okay, mm-hmm. like Enoch,
right,
enosh as well, but properly. That's a shortened form of man. It really means mortal. Okay.
Okay.
So he gave man the term ish means mortal. And basically it's from an unused root meaning to be extant. A man is an individual or a male person. Okay. Now the word woman is isha.
Okay.
So you got ish and isha. So it's very similar to man and woman.
Okay.
So, yeah, see, you could use that joke if you want. Whoa, man. And he's like, isha.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah. So it's plural. And that's from aish, which we have. And then the word, and let me see, sha, like a hey at the end, basically. Yeah.
Well, now, something that has come in my mind a couple of times, I'm going to go to. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does that go back as far as Genesis, or is that...
that's what he said, what God has joined together.
Yeah.
That's what he said, you're going to do this.
Yeah, okay. It made sense to me, but I wanted to make sure that I wasn't reading something in there I shouldn't have. That was the reason for the question. Go ahead.
Remember, the ish was Aleph, Yod, Shin, and this is Aleph, Shin, Hey. Okay. Remember when he put the breath of life in Abram, made him Abraham?
Yes.
Okay, and then it was Sarai, and then it turned to Sarah. H at the end, or the Hey, because he's putting the breath of life into her. Well, that's what happened here. You got ish, which is the mortal man, and then when it said woman, he puts a hey at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's adding the breath of life to men.
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't that wild? So you can see that just from the Hebrew letters.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
That's cool. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that's really powerful, because now it gives a lot more insight to the woman. And now you're not having this Muslim thing where, you know, woman's a half a boat.
Right.
And she's your property and all this other stuff. No, she's the very breath of life. You know, that is going to lift you up. So that's pretty interesting. But I wanted to, we still got a couple minutes here. Let's look at Luke 24:35.
Okay.
And it talks about when Jesus, it was after he was resurrected, right?
Okay. All right. I'm trying to catch up to you. Go ahead.
39. Sorry.
Okay.
But I always start early. You know me. Things were done. Okay, so this is, remember, Lord appeared to Simon, right? And he told the things that were done and how it was known of them in the breaking of bread in verse 36. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the middle of them and said, "Peace be unto you." So there they are, they're talking in a circle. Uh-huh. And Jesus goes, "Hey, peace."
Uh-huh.
But they were terrified and frightened. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Suppose they had seen the spirit. Yeah, well, no kidding. Shows up in the middle of them.
Right.
They're like, ghost! And he said unto them, why are you troubled? What's your problem? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Look at my, because it's Jesus. And he's like, hello. Yeah, he says, behold, he says, why are you troubled? Behold, my hands and my feet, because that's where he was pierced. Right.
Right.
And he showed them his hands and feet. And while they believed not for joy and wondered and said unto him, and he said unto them, you got anything to eat?
Have you any food here is what my New King James says.
Yeah.
That's good.
Like, these guys are terrified and shaking on the ground. He says, hey, guys, got anything to eat?
Well, you know, I would be terrified too. Okay, you see Jesus crucified. I don't care. I mean, you know, he's preached to them all the time. But you see Jesus crucified. You see him entombed. And the next thing, he's walking through the wall. He's talking to you, and he says, hey, you got any food? I mean, goodness, can you imagine? I mean, that had to have been a major, major shock, yeah.
And he's laughing at him. Gotcha. Oh,
yeah,
I got to do it again when you guys get together. Watch. All right. So, 39 was really my focus for coming over here. It says,
okay.
Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have.
Yeah.
Where's the blood?
Yeah, mine says, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Is to answer your question about the blood, I don't see it there.
Where's the blood?
Yeah.
So now we got this whole question. Do we have to wait forever? Lord, can we have this answer about the blood thing?
Yeah.
Do we have it before sin? Mm-hmm. Are we going to have it after we're resurrected? Or do we just have the flesh and bone, and it's your spirit that flows through our veins?
Yeah.
The life is in the blood.
I got a feeling there's not going to be any blood in heaven, but I mean, that's a guess. That's just a personal guess.
Yeah, it's like, well, and maybe in us, maybe in the animals, because you got the sacrifice. And that's in the new millennium, though, not the new heaven.
Right.
Very interesting. Yeah. So we're gonna pose some more questions that we have no answers for in the second half of the show.
Okay.
If we're not raptured by then, if we are, you better receive Christ right now before the commercials come on.
Right now, yeah.
Just in case. So we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to seeing you guys, Lord willing, be back in the second half. And you have a great time. See you in a few minutes. Bye.
We'll be right back.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Nina Maria Potts with the latest world news. U.S. President Joe Biden has told the American people that the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation just days after he withdrew his re-election bid. In a primetime address from the Oval Office, his first publicly televised remarks since bowing out of the 2024 presidential race, Joe Biden offered a defense of his record, as Benji Heyer reports.
Nothing can come in the way of saving our democracy. That includes personal ambition.
This was a soft, yet stoic, sobering, somber speech, one centered on selflessness from a man who served the public for decades. President Biden said doing this job was the privilege of his life, that he's given his heart and soul to the nation. But democracy, he claims, is at stake. And whilst he didn't admit it with the eyes of America on him, the reality is that voters were becoming increasingly concerned with his fitness, his ability, his health. For his side to beat Donald Trump, the decision was that Joe had to go, as the nominee at least. The president will continue in post for another 6 months, during which he'll focus, he says, on civil rights, on foreign policy. Tonight, attempting to instill confidence that he's still up to the task by listing off his achievements and legacy. The power will soon be out of his hands and into the hands of the American people. The choice is theirs come November. Benji Heyer, Washington.
Israel's prime minister has called on American lawmakers to supply more weapons for the war in Gaza, vowing his country will defeat Hamas. Addressing Congress on Wednesday, Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel will fight until all hostages taken on October 7th and are still being held in the Strip are released. Sally Patterson has more.
Inside Congress, Benjamin Netanyahu was met with applause, cheering and standing ovations. Outside, a very different picture, with protesters turning out en masse against the ongoing war in Gaza. The Israeli Prime Minister thanked US President Joe Biden for his unwavering support for Israel and for calling himself a proud Irish-American Zionist. Gratitude, too, for former President Donald Trump for, quote, all he's done for Israel. Netanyahu ridiculed people campaigning against the war, calling them, quote, Iran's useful idiots, and said Tehran is coming first for Israel and then for America. His address comes as the war in Gaza rages on, with more than 39,000 Palestinian deaths, according to Hamas figures, and thousands more people left without food, water, and shelter. Sally Patterson, New York.
At least two people are dead and hundreds injured as Typhoon Gaiemi hits Taiwan. The storm is bringing intense winds, rain, and storm surge and has forced the closure of schools and businesses for a second day. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Hey, people! Apparently we're not raptured yet, unless you're watching us after the rapture. But anyway, we're still here. So we want to get into the second half of the show. I know we were talking about ribs and Aish and all these cool things, and then laughing at some of the stuff that Jesus did. Like he pops in the middle. They're all hanging out, you know. Oh, I miss Jesus. They got their bread and they're crying. They got the fire going there, and then Jesus pops in the middle. Boom! And they're like, where'd you come from? And he says, hey, boys, you got anything to eat?
It's got to be a shock. You know, it's got to be a shock to see somebody killed. And he was killed. Okay.
The way
and,
he was.
And he was buried. And he was all tore up. There's, you know, and now he's just there all of a sudden. You know, like, hey, y'all got anything to eat? That gets me every time I think about it. It's just that's Jesus' sense of humor right there.
Yeah, I must tell you, my grandson takes after me. I take after Jesus. Hey, what, you show up, what do you got to eat?
That's great.
Hey, my little meatball. So every time you see him, he's got his hands full of something. All right, so listen, back in Genesis, because that's what we're supposed to be studying, right?
Okay.
I think so, yeah. Therefore shall a man, in 23 we talked about the whoa, man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so because it was Ish and Isha, you know, just like, hey, the praise of God,
right.
The breath of God comes in to the woman. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Mm-hmm. Now, you notice it says the man shall cleave to his wife.
Yes.
Because he knows what he's lost.
Oh, okay. Good point.
And they shall be one flesh, by extension, a body or a person. That's basar.
Mm-hmm.
They literally will become one.
Yeah.
All right? Now, it's got the same implications of the Trinity being one. Like, the one in unity, one in spirit, one in everything. So basically, they become one. All right? And they were both naked. Naked!
Mm-hmm. Naked and didn't know it. They were naked and didn't know it, didn't care. Yeah.
Well, I think it didn't mean anything to them.
No,
and
there's
probably a reason for that.
Yeah.
And they were not ashamed. So we talk about that now. I mean, we're the only animals that wear clothes. Why? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the first thing I ask all these evolutionists. Oh, you know, man is just a more evolved animal. So let me ask you a question. Why do we wear clothes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how come we ain't got no fur?
Yeah.
Or something. So, you know, something like that. Cover you because
I've
you're...
I've met a couple people with fur, but...
Well, I mean, you know, animals... Animals require fur to help them with the sun and, you know, all kinds of different things, you know?
Yeah, that's their clothing.
Yeah.
Unless you ever see a hairless cat?
Yes, that's the ugliest thing I've ever looked at, yeah.
No, that's a hybrid. Get out of here. So they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And remember, they were made in the image of God. So,
right.
They probably glowed. They could probably have a little bit of telepathy going on. They probably, they were clearly immensely smarter than we are now.
Right.
And their bodies, this is part where that blood thing comes in. We really have to look into that.
Yeah.
You know, man, they probably didn't get hurt. You know what I mean?
Right. And no cuts, no bruises, nothing. Yeah.
Right. Because nobody was hurt before that, mm-hmm. before the fall.
Right.
And it wasn't until after the fall that he had to shed blood. So it was after the fall that's the first time we see any kind of blood.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just interesting to me. And I'm not making a conjecture either way on it.
Right.
Maybe it was there and it just had a different iteration. Or maybe
because we don't know. We don't know for sure, but we're taking an educated guess. I guess the best way to say that, right?
Clearly it wasn't there, and clearly it wasn't there when Jesus just popped up in the middle of these, because we saw, he said, just take a look at my flesh and my bone.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he said. Mm-hmm. Bone and flesh, here it is. There's nothing about his blood. Because he had to shed his blood for the remissions of sins. So did he mm-hmm. shed it all, and are we all going to be...
Yeah, and he lost all of his blood, right?
He did. There was seven spots he was bleeding from, because mm-hmm. it should be seven.
Yeah.
And then, he tore up his back. They tore up mm-hmm. the things with the hands and the feet. And then they stabbed him in the side. And the blood, whatever blood.
And water came out when they stabbed him in the side, right? Wasn't it water?
That's proof of death. That's how they would check.
Right.
If just blood came out, he's still alive. It was blood and water. He was dead.
Mm, okay.
That was whatever blood was left that came out of his body with that last stab,
okay.
in my humble opinion.
Okay.
Okay, so they're both naked, and here they are doing that. So I think, really, they were just far superior in ways we cannot imagine.
Right.
And because we had talked about the Tree of Life last week, and then mm-hmm. now we're blocked from that, and just so many different things. But I really wanted to talk about all the funny stuff we see when he comes back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So, and when we're talking about this, when he just popped up in the middle of them, but did you know there was some stuff before that? So he showed up to him a few different times.
Yeah.
So, but you got to go over to John to read that. So let's go over to John and chapter 21, probably even sooner than that. 21 talks about that.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Oh, yeah. And Thomas. Remember Doubting Thomas?
Yes.
Poor guy. That's all we ever call him now, is Doubting Thomas. Instead of just Thomas.
Uh-huh.
No, you're
That's where that man. Phrase came from, for all of you people that didn't know that. Yeah. Okay.
Yep, that's a Doubting Thomas. It came from him. And you know what's funny? Didymus means the twin. It means the double.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and the double, it all goes back to the same thing. So since we're on, tangents, when Jesus was pulling Peter out of the water,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
He says, why did you doubt?
Right.
And he basically said, why did you think twice?
Okay.
Which means it's a dichotomy. He had two different thoughts in his mind, and that's mm-hmm. where that word comes from. So we see why, and basically it says, why were you double-minded? And that's where we see the term, double-minded in all his ways. So this is a little, I guess a spiritual lesson for everybody aside from the history of this all. But that's, everything has double-minded. Even the word doubt. Now, JD, spell doubt for me.
D-O-U-B-T.
Okay. Why is the B in there?
I don't know. To make me look like an idiot, I guess. I don't know.
No. It doesn't make you look like an idiot. Because it comes from the word double.
Okay.
Okay. So the root is double. In other words, you have double mindedness. That's doubt. Okay. A doubt is not, hey, I believe he is, or I believe he isn't. No.
Yeah.
You either believe he's A or believe he's B. There's two different thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what was happening, like with Peter. Peter's walking on the water. He's like, oh, this is cool. But then he saw the storm and the wind and the waves.
Right.
And then he had another thought, I'm going to drown. Okay.
Yeah.
Two thoughts.
And
that pans out with, remember the guy, he says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief.
Put that in context. I'm not with you.
Yeah, so he's like, hey, your kid ain't going to die. Don't worry about it. You know?
Oh, okay. Says, okay.
Remember that one? So, I'll put in unbelief here.
Okay.
But that's the same thing. It's two different mm-hmm. things. Let us labor to unbelief. Lord, believe. Help my unbelief. But unbelief is basically that. We're calling your unbelief. Minor. Ah, here we go. In Mark 9:24.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible. So let me see. So here's the epileptic kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long ago did this happen? It says, from a child. Oftentimes it's cast him into the fire and the waters trying to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible for him who believes.
Yeah.
So he said, believe. He didn't say anything else. Okay. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, I believe, help my unbelief.
Okay. Yeah,
two
I got you.
Got you. It wasn't, mm-hmm. wasn't a yes or no. It was two different thoughts competing for his mind. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
I've actually had that. I've actually had that, David.
Double-mindedness?
Yeah. That's happened to me. And I can't even give you an example of it, but I know it's happened before. You know, this is good. This is good. But wait, I'm thinking, and no, it's not. Maybe it's not. You know, I can't really explain it to you, but that's, you know, I think you get the idea anyway.
So doubt is in, hey, I think I can. Oh, maybe I can't.
Right.
It's literally having two different thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it's literally two thoughts fighting for it. And that's why God says, take every thought captive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Listen, thought, you're going to come over here and you're going to do what I tell you. So I choose to believe.
Right.
So that's where Peter was. He's like, he's believing. Okay. He's got the one thought. He's walking on water.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thought comes in with the wind and the waves. And so the devil's throwing a thought at him over here. Oh, now you got two thoughts. And that's what Jesus said. Why did you double think? Why did you have two thoughts?
Right.
Not why did you doubt. Okay. So that's where that's Thomas. That was the whole idea going back to Thomas.
Okay.
Okay. Because the word Didymus, Thomas Didymus, that it's the twin or the double.
Okay.
And that's why he's doubting here. That's why we call him Doubting Thomas. So it just his name. Just points it right out.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that doubts.
Right.
He's got two thoughts in his mind. He's did he raise from the dead? Yes. Did he die? Did he not raise from the dead? Yes.
Well, he was the only disciple that hadn't seen Jesus before that, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And but it was specifically on purpose, or
oh, sure it was. Here. Yeah, yeah, absolutely, it was.
If you remember, we read and many times he said so many things that Jesus wrote. The world couldn't hold the books of all the things that Jesus did.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So there he is. So he appears to him in the middle of everything, but Tom ain't there, right? So they're all frightened. He asks if they got any food. They're like, they're hanging out for a bit, but Thomas ain't there. And he's like, dude, we saw Jesus. He's like, nah, I don't believe you. Okay. So he comes back 8 days later, and that's where he's here. And then there's look, poke your hole over here, Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the other disciples, we have seen the Lord, but he said unto them, unless I see in his hands, the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails, put the hand in my side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. So here's Jesus now coming again. And he knows the deal. He's Jesus, right?
Right.
Jesus came and the doors having been shut. So the doors are shut. And that doesn't mean they just closed the door like today. When they shut the door, they had it
barricaded. You can believe that.
They got a thing over the front, you know. They got the security cameras on it. They got everything. The door is shut.
Absolutely.
And Jesus, again, stands in the middle of them and says, peace. Hey, Tommy.
Yeah.
I got something to show you. Come here.
Yeah.
Stick your finger in here.
Uh-huh.
Okay, look at my hands. Look at my side. Look.
Uh-huh.
It's me, dude.
Yeah.
And that's when Thomas says, "My Lord and my God."
And my God.
So finally, he got rid of the unbelief.
That's the big part right there, where he says, "And my God," because people,
You
know, we talked briefly before this second half started, and we concentrated on that one thing there, which was, you know, people that say that Jesus didn't call himself God, he did. Right there. There you go.
Yep. And so that's it. Well, here's the thing. Thomas called him my Lord and my God.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very, very powerful.
Yes.
And Jesus didn't come back and say, no, I'm just a servant.
Right.
No.
Right.
He didn't rebuke him at all. Okay. So this clearly is God.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, by his lack of response to that, indicates that he agrees with it.
Right.
Okay. Because even before that, if you remember, before he was crucified, he says, why do you call me good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He rebuked the guy. He says, what's your reason for calling me good?
Yeah.
He didn't rebuke anybody here.
No,
so Jesus said that because you have seen me, mm-hmm. you have believed. Blessed are those who did not see and yet believed.
Which is directed at the church. Yeah, that is directed I can't say the church. That's directed in everyone that believes in Jesus Christ without mm-hmm. actually seeing him.
Right, which they don't have that double-mindedness. So that's where we're going. You
right.
don't have that other thought of, is he really God? No, maybe he's not God, or maybe he's a Mormon and he dropped these golden plates and can't find them, you know? Stop.
Yeah.
That's you. Blessed are those who see, or did not see, and yet believe.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe without a double-mindedness of unbelief, God says you're blessed.
Amen.
So this is what I was talking about here. Therefore, in verse 30, John 20, 30, therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book.
Mm-hmm.
But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Okay? So this is 8 days after the first time. And then what happens? We're going to the fishing thing again. And this is
okay, fun. Well, let's back up here for a second.
Yeah.
8 days. There is not any, unless I'm missing it, there's nothing there that says the disciples got together over this 8-day period and he's still saying you haven't seen Jesus, he's not really alive or any of that. They skip all that and go straight to 8 days later. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because that's when Jesus showed up again.
So yeah.
It's like, you know.
There wasn't any debate. The disciples weren't going to debate him and he wasn't going to debate them. That's what it comes down to, right?
He's like, okay. There's 11 of us. We saw him.
Yeah.
You're an idiot. Yeah.
Okay.
What can I say? But, Thomas, the double.
Yeah. Okay.
But the dynamic duo. After these things, Jesus manifested himself in chapter 21 to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. So, I'll give you all the names, but Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, the sons of Zebedee, and his two other disciples were together. And Peter said, I'm going fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to him, we will also come with you.
Okay.
So they went out and got into the boat. So they're getting bored and they're hanging out. And he says, Peter's like, I'm going fishing. So they're out all night long, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they caught nothing.
Nothing. Not a fish.
Right. But now the day was breaking, and Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus.
Mm.
So what does Jesus do? Hey, guys, it's me, Jesus. I'm over here. Now, Jesus says to them, hey, you guys ain't catch nothing, right?
Yeah, the New King James, David, says, friends, haven't you any fish?
What happened? And he's like, he's goading them. He's like, show them, watch this. You didn't catch any fish, right? He answered them, no. He says, here's the problem. You're on the wrong side of the boat. So he says, can you imagine? I go fishing, and there's no way you're going to tell me that if I go to the other side of the boat, I'll catch more fish.
Right.
The fish are under the boat. Hello?
Oh, man.
Under the boat. Doesn't matter which side you drop the hook from. What a net. So what does he say to them? Jesus says, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll find a catch. They're like, what? So they cast, and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish.
Yeah.
Okay, so here he is. He's goading them on. You didn't catch anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, okay, throw it on the right side of the boat, And by the way, you're not going to be able to, they couldn't get this in. They're dragging this thing in, right? So, therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved, John always called himself that, you know? I think he was like poking at the other guys, too. Yes, the disciple that Jesus loved, that would be me.
He just had to throw that in Peter, there.
Yeah, okay. He does it all the time. I said, and some people are like, no, that's so he's being, you know, he's being humble because he doesn't want to tell people who it is. And he's like, oh, he loved me even though I'm like a dweeb. I don't know. We'll find out. See, another, actually, put that on the question thing. Okay, did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? And why did John say the disciple that Jesus loved all the time? John!
There you go. Okay.
John! What is up with this?
Okay.
All right, that's one of my questions. I got a long list of questions.
Yeah, I bet. I do too. It's growing every day.
So John says, it's the Lord. Mm-hmm. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work. And then he threw himself in the sea. What?
About 100 so yards from shore. Naked. Yeah, about 100 yards from shore, he puts his clothes on to jump in the water.
He's fishing naked, and he puts his clothes on to jump in the water and swim.
That's great.
What a great story. The other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land. So I guess Peter was excited. Once he realized that, oh my goodness, it is Jesus, because that's how he originally called us. So Jesus is like reminiscing about the old days. Hey, remember our first date? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I called you guys, and you caught all them fish. You didn't know what to do with them, right? That was great. He did it again.
He did it again.
Now, this is because here he is. He's setting everything up for the end of the age.
Mm.
And then Peter's swimming naked to shore. Or no, now he's got his garment on.
Yeah.
But the other day, and the dragging, now they got a net full of fish. They're dragging in it. All night long, they got nothing. He says, throw it on the right side there, but. So when they got to the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it. So he's already got stuff cooking. They didn't need the fish. Jesus, is funny.
And they got 153 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got 153 fish.
Yeah, and he's like, he's like, all right, yeah, listen, you got them. Throw them on the fire. He's got fish, and he's got bread.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, where did he get this? Like, did Uber Eats deliver it? Did he stop at the Whole Foods on the way over? But he's got fish in the bread, and he's tweaking them on the shore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got no fish, and he's cooking fish on the shore. They're out in the water trying to get him. He's over here eating it. That's just funny. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although it was so many, the net was not torn. And on another note, this speaks to how many people they're going to bring into the kingdom, and it doesn't matter the multitude of them, you're still going to be able to keep them all. Isn't that wild?
Mm-hmm.
Because the net's not going to break.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So you had some valuable insight on the next move. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. So now this is the third time Jesus was manifested to disciples after he was raised from the dead. Okay.
Yeah.
And then and Jesus said to Simon Peter, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the topic is what caught my attention right away. It says Jesus reinstates Peter.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. I had missed that in the past. It says, when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And I'm going to stop right there because this is kind of important that we go over this, because it starts off with Jesus reinstates Peter. And you pointed out to me that you need to go back and this is a contract term. I'm using your stuff now. the contract term, because Peter had denied Jesus three times. Now he has affirmed Jesus three times. He changed the contract.
That's right.
Go ahead,
literally,
David.
He had three different contracts of when he denied Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was three different places.
Yeah.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yes, so very.
Here he is. He denied him, and he was so sorrowful.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it got his legal. We know that. But he's also loving.
Yes.
So he wanted to make sure that Peter understood this, in addition to being legally rescinded. Because he says, you know, you're forgiven already, but you've got to ask to receive for that forgiveness. Please forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, yes, I have. Here it is. Okay, it's not like, yeah, you forgive me. That's great. And then you walk on your own way. It doesn't work.
Right, right.
Okay, you have to agree to the whole thing, just like any kind of a legal case. You have to agree to it, or else it just doesn't stand.
Absolutely.
All right, so we're in this thing here, and he's got to repent three times.
Mm-hmm.
Take your signature off the first denial.
Right.
Okay, that's done.
Yeah.
Peter, you love me? Mm-hmm. I just told you I did. Okay,
yeah.
Take your that's off of that one. Okay?
Yeah.
But he had work to do. What was the work?
Well, look at verse 24. Mm-hmm. I want to see whether or not that kind of clarifies the contract thing. This is a disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down.
Oh,
that's what the New King James says. Now, I don't know what you've got.
No. If I'm looking at 16 and 17,
okay,
on 21, 16 and 17, he has to do something as well.
Right.
So he's got, hey, do you love me? I'm going to rescind my signature from the contract. And they said to him, well, do what?
Where yet? Which one? I'm sorry. Where are you at exactly?
Okay, so and you just read it. Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me?
Yes,
Lord, you know I love you. So Jesus said, tend to my sheep.
Yeah.
Right,
I'm
feed
sorry,
my sheep.
That's what I'm scrolling through on a tiny phone, David. Give me a break.
Well, you should know this one. This is the
yeah, I should. You're right, I should.
In Sunday school. Okay. feed my sheep.
I was absent
three times
that day. Okay.
So, and I caught you off guard. Sorry about that. So, but then he's like, okay, now I'm going to go do something. I'm going to tend to his sheep. You love me? Great. Do this.
Yeah.
If you love me, you'll keep my commandment.
Right.
If you love me, you'll do what I say. Why do you call me Lord? You don't do what I say.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you're saved by your works, but your works demonstrate that you are saved.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's kind of where we're at. So we kind of want to end the show with that, I think. So it's not a salvation by works issue. It's completely under the blood contract with Jesus Christ, okay? But there's going to be evidence of that. If you're truly saved, you're truly going to want to repent and take your signature off your old stuff, okay? You're going to want to renew your mind. You're going to want to do all these things. So it's evidence that you are saved.
Amen.
It's evidence that you do truly love the Lord. So I think we might want to say that today is, if you haven't accepted the Lord, receive him and then feed his sheep, okay? Mm-hmm. If you're not feeding his sheep, maybe examine yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our admonition for today. And Lord willing, we'll see you next time on Last Christian. Bye.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.